This is Jay Sekulow, breaking news. House schedules a vote. The issue, release the memo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
If you think your viewers want to know whether or not the dossier was used in court proceedings, whether or not it was vetted before it was used, whether or not it's ever been vetted, if you are interested in who paid for the dossier, if you're interested in Christopher Steele's relationship with Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee, then yes, you'll want the memo to come out.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It'll change the debate because we'll have more facts. And instead of just the political rhetoric and political barbs on both sides of that, we'll actually have some factual basis to have further discussions.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast on this Monday. Let me tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Our Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs for the ACLJ, is at a meeting on Capitol Hill right now. The issue is including the release of the memo from the House Intelligence Committee. This is the Nunez memo on what was going on in some of these FISA applications, according to reports today. Here's the process. The House Intelligence Committee could vote actually as early as today on this. So there's a scheduled business meeting at 5 o'clock. It is anticipated that at that meeting, it will actually come up. So I think it's fair to say that we are looking at the distinct possibility that a vote will take place today. Now, it's not a guarantee, but that's what it looks like. There's still internal resistance, I would call it, from the Department of Justice right now as it relates to this. But I think it's fair to say that the vote looks like it's going to take place today. If it is voted on today out of the House, that does not mean it is immediately released. So what happens is this. It will then go from the House Intelligence Committee over to the White House. And the White House has 5 days to review the document to either prove its release or not, or maybe require additional redactions if they thought so. That's the process that goes on. I think it's clear that the American people want this document released. The Democrats are going to try to do an opposition document. They're certainly entitled to do that as well. But the fact is, it's a process that could really be triggered this afternoon. So that's, Jordan, what we're looking at, a time frame. So if it gets approved today, that would mean by Friday it should be either out or not out or redacted more or whatever the White House is going to do with it. But that process starts today. Of course, the State of the Union is tomorrow.
Let me say, those redactions would be to address any of those potential actual national security concerns that we've heard about to our intelligence capabilities. But what I don't think those redactions are going to have anything to do with, if this memo is released, is naming names and the individuals and the wrongdoing. So, again, I don't think we need to be worried. This is not going to be the Obama-style redaction of just, here's 4 pages, we blacked out 3 of the 4, and then in the 1 page that we didn't totally blacked out, we blacked out all but 3 lines. That's not what I'm expecting here. Just a review, because if you're the President of the United States and the White House, ultimately, Congress has given you this unique ability. Dad, you know, this would be the first time. First time the House Intelligence Committee has used this procedure to take a classified top-secret document, vote on it, then send it to the White House. The White House can say completely no. That's how much deference is given between the House Intel Committee and the executive branch. But it's not DOJ that gets to say no. It's the White House that gets to say the final yes and the final no, and exactly what the document looks like that we see publicly.
So the White House could review it. They could say it's fine, let it go. They could review it with their counsel and say, we want to make this addition, or we want information about this, or redact that. You don't want methods and personnel disclosed. I mean, there's all of this going on. So there's a lot. It's not so, but we are focused on release the memo. You got to trigger the process to get the process started.
And how that gets triggered is the vote today.
Right. So the vote today will actually start, if it does happen, will start the process. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Simple question for you. Do you want the memo released or don't you? We want your calls and comments on that at 800-684-3110. We'll take those comments as well. Logan?
That's right. Give us a call right now. As you said, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today. You can also get online on social media. Get your comments out on Facebook, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. Facebook, just search for Jay Sekulow. Go to the Jay Sekulow verified page, and you'll see we're broadcasting live there right now. But again, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110.
There's a vote today in the United States Senate on the Pain-Capable Child Protection Act. That's the ban on 20-week or more abortions. We'll talk about that during the next segment of the broadcast a little bit as well. We'll take your calls.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Our dad just stepped out. He'll be back in the studio soon. The House Intelligence Committee has a business meeting scheduled today. Remember, they were out last week, and the week before Friday was all that discussion about the memo. What's going to happen with this four-page memo that supposedly names individuals, two who are currently in the Department of Justice and FBI, very high-ranking, one former, Jim Comey, the former FBI director, all kind of at the center of the Russia investigation, if you will, and of a lot of alleged misconduct, honestly. Sometimes not always by them. It was a little surprising to see Rod Rosenstein's name mentioned by one of the congressmen who had read the document in a secure room. But the House Intelligence Committee already voted to let all House members read this. Today, there are reports, and we can't confirm this yet because this is a committee that works very under the radar because they work with the intelligence communities, that they've got a business meeting scheduled for today. So for the first day Congress is back, that's at 5 o'clock because a lot of members are flying in this morning and getting into Washington, D.C. So it's at 5 o'clock Eastern time. They have a business meeting. It is very possible at that business meeting that they hold the vote to make this document not just public, which they already have, to other members of Congress, which was unprecedented, but to make it public to the American people, which would be the first time ever they've utilized this procedure. But let me explain to you how that works. That does not mean that at 7 o'clock tonight, we're all going to be reading the memo necessarily. Then it goes to the White House. Generally, the White House has been supportive of releasing this memo. I mean, that we've seen, I think, tweets from the president on releasing the memo and the president's family members. But they do have the ability to review it. Remember, they have not gotten to see it yet either. At that side, because of the separation of powers. So they will have up to 5 days to review the memo. And let me tell you something. It's a four-page memo. There may be parts you have to redact for national security. I don't think that'll take away from the meaning of it or the importance of it. And I also think that there may be points they want clarified if you're the White House counsel's office. So I don't want to get people so expected that they're going to see this memo when they wake up tomorrow or even tonight if this vote does occur. But let me tell you something. The White House is not the hurdle. The hurdle is Congress, and that is because they are being lobbied very aggressively by you and mine and ours, democracy. So they've got the DOJ top officials. They've got the FBI top officials telling the House. They are lobbying the House Intelligence Committee, calling the members of the House Intelligence Committee as we speak, saying, do not release this. You will be reckless. Even a Trump appointee to the Department of Justice, Assistant Attorney General, who used to work for Jeff Sessions as his communications director, is opposing the release of this. So the war is getting this past the House vote. Once it gets past the House vote, I have confidence that the White House will review it, may make some changes and redactions, may want some more information added, but it will ultimately be released to the American people if it gets past the House and the aggressive lobbying by the FBI and the DOJ to keep this shut down.
Yeah, they do not want it out. I mean, that's pretty clear. But here's what I think is very important for people to understand. There's a process in place, and that process has to start with the House voting to release the memo. Then it triggers a White House review. This is statutory. It triggers a White House review that can take up to 5 days, and the White House can review it. They could say they wish this was redacted. They could say we don't want it released. I mean, I don't anticipate that's what it's going to be, but there is going to be a review. So that's what's happening there. All right, we've got a lot of calls and comments coming in at 1-800-684-3110. A lot of people joining us on our radio networks across the country and also on our social media platforms. Logan, you want to take a call or a comment? What do you want to do?
Let's go to Walter in Ventura, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Walter, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Hey. I praise God that you guys are doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
First of all. And then second, I want the memo because they don't want us to have it.
Well, they clearly don't, they being the federal government. And their reasoning is that, look, if you have methods or personnel, we're going to talk about that in the next segment of the broadcast. You got to be very, you shouldn't be just releasing methods and personnel. So it's going to depend on what's the phraseology, and that's why there's a process of review. But I think at the end of the day, the American people deserve this at this point. And there was a big story in the New York Times today about the fact that the Deputy Attorney General may have approved approved a FISA warrant. So based on, it could have been based on, it sounds like, based on the Steele dossier. So there could be a whole host of issues there. And again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know, but there's a whole lot of issues.
Yeah, Logan, Walter's gone. Never mind. All right, we're going to go to Walter. I know you had another comment there. We appreciate you calling.
Can I reinstate that is hitting in the New York Times? I mean, that's a big deal that finally some of the mainstream are starting to pick up on these, at least the stories.
I mean, the media, Logan's going to have to cover it when it hits at this story. There's no way they can avoid it.
Yeah,
there'll be a counter-narrative.
Yeah, exactly. There will be a complete counter-narrative that will try to disprove everything that's written there. So don't expect, obviously, a
no, but the fact bipartisan that finally, decision. Finally,
no, it's not going to be bipartisan.
Finally getting to it.
But here's what I think they're going to do. I think the counter-narrative is going to be, not that what's in the release is incorrect, but there's other factors. But obviously there's a big fight going on internally in Congress and with the Department of Justice. This is a big deal, and that's why we're on this issue and covering this issue. It's a big deal.
I say this all the time. I said it when we talked about beginning with Jim Comey, and when we talked about how those you'd have Jim Comey and the NSA, and you'd have the Director of National Intelligence, and how when you're talking about House members specifically who get elected every 2 years, many of which are coming with backgrounds in the military, but some come right out of small business world. They're not experts in counterintelligence. They can be very intimidated members of Congress when dealing with these types of officials. So for them to resist the pressure that is on them right now from the FBI and DOJ, it's why this procedure, I'll keep repeating it, it has never been used in history. This would be the first time the House Intelligence Committee approved the release of a classified document to be viewed not just by Congress, that was unprecedented, so all members of Congress, but for the American people. And the only stopgap there is that the White House can decide not to release it, but from all intents and purposes, including commentary from the White House. Now, they haven't seen it either. I mean, and it's 4 pages, so it should be a pretty quick decision on what changes may need to be made, what redactions need to be made. But this is unprecedented in our time period.
Yes, I think that's fair.
It's never happened before.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and grab a – you want to grab a call?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Nick in Reno, Nevada. You're on the air.
Hey, Nick.
Hi, guys. God bless you.
Thanks.
I just want to comment that the American people, I believe, are sick and tired of what these elected officials have been getting away with, and it's time for them to be held accountable.
Well, so the elected officials are trying to release the memo or not release the memo. That's where the fight is. So the fight right now is in the legislative branch in government. So the Article 1 is kind of engaged on this, and that's the House and the Senate, and really the House here, and you have the internecine fighting within the parties, and then you'll have the external fighting between party and party. But the end result is probably going to be a vote on release, And then, it, as I said, it goes to the White House, and we'll see what the White House does with it, and if it orders a release, which I expect it will. But again, I think it'll go through a process. In fact, Mark Short, did we play this bite yet? Let's play this. This is the White House's Director of Legislative Affairs.
Does he want to see that four-page memo to that effect coming out of the House Intelligence Committee? Does he want to see that released to the public?
Well, one, we don't know what's in the memo. It's classified. I haven't seen it. But I think the president generally sides on the side of transparency. And so, yes, I think he believes that that should be put out.
So here's what happens again. So it will go from the House to the White House. The White House will have a review process, including their counsel, to review this and make a determination as it moves forward. So this is a significant story. Now, I mean, the Washington Post right now is saying that Chief of Staff met with the General Sessions to convey the president's desire to have a classified House memo made public. So the president has wanted transparency. But again, the president knows there's a process to put in place that is in place, yep. And they're going to utilize it. All right. More calls. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is out of the Hill, which has good contacts to like chiefs of staff. So the committee spokesman for the House Intelligence Committee has said that Monday night was definitely a possibility. So tonight is definitely a possibility. They're just not at the 100%. I don't think the House Intelligence ever tells you that they're at the 100%. But the fact that they're even commenting is a different kind of House Intelligence Committee communication than we usually receive. But this has happened once before.
But there's a lot of discussion. Trey Gowdy said he thinks that's before it's released from the House that the FBI needs to be able to review it.
Well, this is the problem he may be falling into that DOJ trap. So that's what I've been talking about is that there are
they say the FBI director Chris Wray has reviewed the memo yesterday on Capitol Hill because it was made available for review.
There were political opponents inside the DOJ, including people that were appointed. So these are political nominees. One is he was formerly communications director for Jeff Sessions.
He has said
if you release this, you are reckless and endangering the country.
So there is a process.
So there's a lot. I mean, people like Trey Gowdy, you see, are getting lobbied hard.
Yeah.
Not to allow this memo to see the light of day.
And that's why we want to know your view on this, and we'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, but not with 50 seconds to go, Logan.
We have a lot of comments coming in. Obviously, a lot of people wanting the release of the memo, but a lot of people are saying they're curious about what the spin will be and how, if it is as bad as it sounds, how they will react. And again, as always, flip it on you.
They're going to be Larry David, right? I'm flipping on you.
Sure.
There's always going to be a narrative and a counter-narrative. So that you have to prepare for. The first thing you have to see is it going to be released? And there's a lot of pressure internally. We'll talk more about it when we come back from the break. We're certainly going to want to take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be joined by two of our analysts in just a moment. Also, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We're in the last 3 days of the month here. So your support at ACLJ.org could put us over the top for the month. We encourage you to do that, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
What's the process is, our senior counsel, Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney, is joining us as well to talk about process. Before we do that, let me just say that the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, announced that they will vote today on the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, a bill which would ban elective abortions after 20 weeks. And the New York Times, not too happy about it. Their headline is, "The Political Dimensions of Medicine, the Latest Alarming Abortion Battle." That's in the New York Times today. By the way, the countries that allow this are the United States, China, North Korea, Canada, the Netherlands, Singapore, and Vietnam. Even Planned Parenthood admits that 99% of abortions occur before 21 weeks. But these countries go along and say, after 20 weeks, you could still do it, and we're in this list. You want to be in a list with China and North Korea? I don't. Now, the question is going to be, Jordan, really quickly on this. To get it through,
cloture,
you got to get 60 votes. Very
60
tough.
60 votes. I mean, you know,
I'm glad they're bringing it up. I don't want them to not bring up the issue.
You know, I feel like if there were maybe a few more like Joe Manchin, who actually never ends up voting the right way, but sounds like he will.
Yeah.
If there are a few more like him, then maybe. But there aren't many. So I just think you always keep fighting. You always want to put them on the record. I think the White House, President Trump, he wants to be on the record saying he supports this ban. And the U.S. senators want to be on the record saying they support this ban, and it will force the Democrats who vote, and it's going to be partisan.
Yep.
It will force the Democrats to go on the record and say they want to be one of the handful of countries in the world that allows people to murder the children in their womb at 20 weeks.
Yeah, Bob Goodlatte, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is speaking right now. We'll try to get some information on that. Let me bring Andy Economo into the conversation here. Andy, we support the memo being released. We also support the process upon which it needs to be reviewed, which would be going to the White House for its they have up to 5 days to review it. What cannot be disclosed is method and sources. Tell people what that means.
Well, methods and sources means the ways by which we acquire information and the actual sources, the fountains that we go to acquire the knowledge. We don't want to discuss information that deals with the methodology by which intelligence is gathered. Obviously, that would be giving aid and comfort in some respects to the enemy if we did give those things out. And we certainly don't want to talk about our sources, and that is the people, the information, the identities of those who disclose and give us the information that results in the documentation that's presented to the FISA court. We don't want to give those. And that should have been expunged, in my view, in any event, before the memo even came out. But that's one of the things that I think the White House is going to review after, in my prediction, this memo will be released, ought to be released. And I think it'll probably be along party lines, frankly.
I think the vote will be party lines, which is 13-9.
It's 13-9. Now we're checking
on that. Ben Bennett's in a meeting on this right now.
It's interesting because now this may be because the House Intelligence Committee means there could be ties. Now there may be a way to tie break that. I don't expect that here. It was already a partisan line, straight party vote, just to allow House members that we elect to read it who aren't on the Intel Committee.
Yep.
So they've already, people without top secret clearance have read this memo. So in a sense, it's already gotten to the next level of individuals. They are elected officials, but they don't have that kind of clearance. They've read the four-pager, and the House Intelligence Committee voted strict party lines to do that. So I expect a vote, if it occurs today, will be similar. There could be Republicans that peel off because of this FBI pressure.
Gowdy is our friend. Trey Gowdy saying he wants the FBI to review
which
it first.
Which means there wouldn't be a vote today.
And so then there's a lot at play here.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't speak like it's interesting that Trey Gowdy's that way, but like Peter King so far has been like
been
get
toughest.
This vote right now.
Yep.
And so again, it's like the right and the moderates are not necessarily on the same.
It's not all linking up, no question.
No.
All right, Logan, you've got a lot of callers calling. Yep. You got a lot of people commenting.
Let's go to Pat first, New Jersey on line one. Pat, thanks for holding you on the air.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. How
hey,
are
Pat.
Doing?
Good.
A question. The president has he has clearance on everything,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay, so even if there were not a vote, would he be able to review that memo, declassify it, and put it out to the public?
Technically, the answer is yes. The president could review it and declassify it, but there's a process, and the White House is going to respect the process. And that means that you have to give the House the opportunity to vote on it. There has to be a review by the White House. the president wants transparency. There's no question about that. But there's going to be a process of review internally in the White House, whether it takes a day or 3 days or whatever it is. I have no idea. But there's going to be a review process. That's the nature of this. But first thing that has to happen is a release. If you're asking me whether the president would circumvent the House and Senate on this, or the House on this, I don't see that at this point. I think the process is in place, and I think process is important unless there is such a unbelievable stonewalling that the American people are being bamboozled here.
So we need you to grassroots activate right now. We're putting it up on the screen for everybody. We're going to put it up in Facebook and Periscope as well. This isn't call your congressman, because your congressman may not be on the House Intel Committee. And these House Intel Committee congressmen represent all of us because it involves intelligence. So don't worry if they're not from your state. We're even going to post the link up so you can see exactly who. I'll go through the names, but we'll post the link so you can see all 22 members. But it's one phone number you call. It's 202-224-3121. And then here's the members of Congress you asked to speak for their offices. Congressman Devin Nunes, he's the chair of that Homeland Security Committee. Mike Conway from Texas, Peter King, Frank Labiondo, Tom Rooney, Elena Ross Layton, Michael Turner, Brad Winstrup, Chris Stewart, Rick Crawford, Trey Gowdy, Elise Stefanik, Will Hurd. Those are the Republicans. We're going to put the list up for you. All you have to do is call 202-224-3121, and your message to those Republicans is simple to their staff. Have them release the memo. Vote yes to release the memo.
But, you know, there could be something going on here where Trey Gowdy gets a couple of other Republicans on the committee to say, we want FBI review first. I mean, that could happen here.
So that's why we need to put the pressure on today. He needs to know from his grassroots that is not acceptable.
I think the American people are entitled to know what's going on here. Again, but let me run this with Andy. Explain that sources and method. No one wants the disclosure of source and method.
No, we don't. And we all agree. The methodology by which you acquire intelligence information and the sources, the actual fountains of knowledge, if you will, where it came from, who gave it to you, who the identity of the source is, we don't want that exposed. And that really should have already been purged from the document. It shouldn't be in there, but that's something that the White House may want to look at after the vote takes place to divulge it. But we're interested in substance. We want disclosure of the substance of this FISA abuse memo. Why, Jay? Because it could show the corruption of the federal judiciary. That's the thing that concerns me.
Well, the federal judiciary was maybe corrupted by evidence that was submitted based on to get a FISA warrant.
Correct.
Based on a false dossier. That will be, if that is what's in there, that is a big, big deal.
We need the grassroots activism, though, folks. Okay. I mean, because there's so much pressure. So this is the congressional hotline, 202-224-3121, a targeted list of members of Congress.
You think there's going to be opposition?
Yeah, I know.
Internally.
I know there is. We have literally a Trump-appointed assistant attorney general who is the one saying this will be reckless. He was Jeff Sessions' communications director.
So there's something going on internally here.
There's something real internal going on. And I think they're even opposed to where the president stands on this. So, and again, here's the Democrats. It's Adam Schiff, Jim Himes, Terry Sewell, Andre Carson, Jackie Speier, Mike Quigley, and then Eric Swalwell, Joaquin Castro, Denny Heck. We're going to post those lists, but it's that same congressional hotline.
All right, Logan, we've got another 30 minutes of the broadcast. Let everybody know what they need to do to stay tuned.
That's right. If you don't get us on your local station, you can find us. Or if you want to change it up, find us broadcasting live, video and audio. That's on Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope and Twitter, @JSeculo. You can also find it at ACLJ.org. Archive later on the ACLJ app and on the JSeculo Live podcast.
And don't forget, we're in the last couple of days of the month here. Help us make that month. You can do that at ACLJ.org. It's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, everybody. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So today at 5 o'clock, there's supposed to be a vote on the House Intelligence Committee, and that vote could include a release of the what's called the Nunes memo, the four-page summary of what they uncovered in this intelligence report. But there is internal opposition to it, including some of the Republicans. I mean, Trey Gowdy said he would like it, Andy, to go to the FBI first. There doesn't seem – most Republicans do not want that, but there is that statement. And then, as Jordan said, there's a former spokesperson of the of Jeff Sessions when he was in the Senate, who's now an official at the Justice Department, saying it would be reckless. So there is clearly an internal conflict going on there. And I say that by also saying that once they approve it, assuming they do, it goes to the White House for a review process up to 5 days.
Now, I do want to clarify what Trey Gowdy said, because I think this may have already happened. Trey Gowdy said he wanted the FBI to review it. Well, Christopher Wray did.
Yes, he did.
So that, would count as the FBI reviewing it.
Yes, that
so,
did happen.
So that may have happened. And that
I think
kept
it happened yesterday.
That kept it – that would keep it away from – yeah, but it happened.
Yeah, yesterday.
And that would keep it away from the rest of the FBI bureaucrats getting their hands on
it. Yeah, Fox News is reporting the FBI Director Chris Wray went to Capitol Hill yesterday to view the intelligence memo. The committee is set to vote, as we know, probably today. But again, Andy, let's go back on that. No issues with methods and sources. That's why it goes through a review process, and that's the reason that when the White House gets it, they can also exercise their constitutional authority.
We agree that we do not want the methods that are used to acquire intelligence to be disclosed. And we don't want the sources, that is the fountains of knowledge from which we come and get information and use that information in order to gather and to promote the intelligence gathering apparatus, to be disclosed. And we don't want either of those to be disclosed. Now, it seems to me that if the FBI director has reviewed this memo, then the objection that Congressman Gowdy had should be have been put to rest, because the director of the FBI, rather than the deep state FBI operatives, and many of whom I do not have full confidence in, don't need to look at it. And I think that the process is, as I understand it, that once the House votes to release it, the rules call for the committee to await a decision by the president and the president's counsel, of course, who has made clear he supports the release of the memo.
And that's when they talk about the process. President and counsel there, that's not us. That's not me as his lawyer or John Dowd. It's the White House.
It's
the White House counsel's office. And they have inside there, they have an intelligence team that does that does this kind of analysis. Well, you want to take a call or a comment? We got 2 minutes and 14 seconds. What do you want to do?
I'll say calling, because a lot of people have been holding. Let's go to Betty in California. You're on the Airline 6.
Hey, Betty, go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my
sure.
call. Anyhow, I think that we should be able to see what's on that memo. And I don't think that they have a right to try to keep it external or internal from the people being able to see what is on there, only because they should not be exempt from exposing their crimes. I mean, if we go against a judge and, you know, we're asking the judge or we're asking the judge to hold any evidence against a jury so that we are not.
Well, I mean, if there was a misrepresentation to a federal judge, which is in the FISA situation, if that was the case or if that's within the memo, that's going to be earth-shattering news when that comes out. There's no question about that.
Yes. I mean, the whole idea of the FISA program already, I mean, there were reservations about reauthorizing it. There always are. But it is important for our national security. It's so important that we need to root these problems out so that we can utilize this court system effectively to keep our country safe from terrorists and from those who want to harm us. You know, we always talk about that liberty-security balance. This is one of those issues right on that line. But if it starts getting abused, and where if you're running for office or you support someone politically, and they're making up fake information to get warrants on Americans under this idea that they're somehow foreign agents, but it's completely made-up documents, that is not why this law was written. It was written for it to capture foreign communications.
Yep.
And they're treating Americans as designating them as foreign operators with fake evidence.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more calls when we come back. Logan, you can get your comments in to Logan as well.
Yep.
And you should be engaged in all our social media platforms, especially after the program goes off the air. A lot of things are happening during the day here.
Yeah, make sure you're following and liking all of our social medias. That's at Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. It's at Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, ACLJ. You can obviously find us at ACLJ.org. All those links and everything you need right there. We'll be right back. Exclusive video coming up for those watching online. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back. We've got some breaking news that has just happened during the break. We shared this a little bit with our Facebook audience, but we need to bring this to everybody's attention. NBC News is reporting that FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, who has been in a lot of controversy, is stepping down effective today. He served as an acting director of the FBI. He is the number two at the FBI. There's been a lot of issues developing around Andrew McCabe, as people know, that's been in the news. Originally, he said he was going to resign effective in March. It is now being reported. Do we have verification of this, Will? It's Pete Williams. It's very accurate, usually.
They're saying lots of reports are coming in. They have lots of sources confirming this.
So it's a multi-source report at this point. We've got a multi-source report that Andrew McCabe is stepping down effective today. Jordan, how do you read that?
Again, we saw the chief of staff at the FBI step down, Rubicki, after being interviewed by the House Intelligence Committee. Andrew McCabe, he's right involved with the Strzok and Page text. We got to meet in Andy's office. We got to soft walk the Hillary Clinton investigation. We got to come up with something on the Trump. This is a guy, again, who is involved in problems with Hillary investigation. He's involved with problems in the Russia investigation. And he was already in problems because his wife was a Democrat politician, which got a lot of pushback inside the FBI. So the fact that all of this is happening within a week, as these text, you think these text messages haven't had an impact, folks? You think they're not a little bit worried about the four-page memo coming out?
Well, I kept, remember, it was Andy's office. I kept saying the meetings in Andy's office. I
mean, we have been told that he is named in the memo.
Yes.
So, I mean, these guys, it seems to be, are running out of Washington, D.C. as quickly as they can and probably lawyering up.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that's part of the process here. Let me get, we got Westminster, senior military analyst, but also has handled classified information in his capacity there. I was legally trained as well. Wes, I think we need to go to reaction on Andrew McCabe. Not shocking here. I'm going to get both yours and Andy's reaction
right,
on this.
Not shocking. And, you know, the rank and file, the men and women of the FBI are people of integrity. They're great public servants. But face it, the upper echelons of the FBI have been under, you know, suspicion. They have really screwed up the reputation of the FBI. And so they are hurting at the top. They have a leadership problem in the FBI. So because of that leadership problem and all of the, some things are factual, some are allegations,
yep,
it's no surprise that the number two person at the FBI would step down.
We're getting more information on this. I think we're going to stay on the air on Facebook and Periscope. So at the end of this broadcast, if need be, we will stay over a couple of segments, and this will also allow us to freshen up the news here because it's obviously happening right now. Andy, what's your reaction to this? McCabe's been the center of a bit of a firestorm on this.
Right.
You had, as Jordan said, Rubicki, the chief of staff to James Comey, announced on Friday he was gone. McCabe, the number two, said he was going to retire at the end of March.
That's correct.
Now it looks like he's given his resignation effective now, pursuant to NBC News. Pete Williams is reporting.
I think it's a very big step in the rehabilitation of the upper echelons of the FBI, and I applaud it.
Yeah, and Jordan, you said this is where the grassroots activism makes a difference.
Yep. You call your members of Congress. This is the digital age. All of their communications we've seen. We know they wanted to go to Andy's office to do something to stop Trump.
Not our Andy.
Yeah, and Andy McCabe. They were on that kind of name basis with him. He was Jim Comey's pick to be number two.
Let's pull those, let's pull those tweets up. I want the text message exchange where they referenced, I think it's just one or two, where they referenced Andy's office. We'll
the
talk about that.
Special plan in Andy's office. Should Trump be elected president, even if, though they thought he wouldn't be, but we need to be ready for it and prepare for it. Then the secret society, whether it's a joke or not, what we know is that these were individuals. Andy McCabe's a partisan. His wife is a Democrat politician, received tons of money from the Clinton people like Terry McAuliffe. He, they slow walked and soft walked the Clinton investigation. They kind of botched it at the end with Jim Comey, who she still blames for his loss because I think he was just too incompetent to even carry out. If it was done for a political purpose, which is wrong and illegal, I think Jim Comey just didn't have the capabilities to do what an Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch could do. He just didn't have it in him.
It's been multiple confirmations on this.
Huge.
Yeah, this is big. Let's grab some calls, get some comments. Yeah. We also now want reaction about the McCabe resignation. And as I said, we're probably going to stay after here and keep the conversation going. All right.
Most of the conversation right now online, not even online, but on phones, are related to the memo. So
let's clear through those quickly.
Let's go to Christine. You've been holding almost a half hour. We appreciate it. You're on the air.
Yeah, Christine, thanks for calling. Hold on 1 second.
See if people want to re-update their comments.
Yeah, let's do
that. Let's go to Christine.
Yeah, and also for those that are calling in, we're going to move to the McCabe matter, so we encourage you to do that. Christine, if you would, go ahead with your question.
Yes, well, it was more or less a comment. Sure. Absolutely, we need the FISA memo released. I think the American people have an absolute right to see that. We're expecting our president to be transparent. And secondly, I'm very glad McCabe stepped down. I think there's a few others that need to.
The interesting thing here will be is McCabe stepped down in the wake of Rubicki stepping down, was the chief of staff under Comey on Friday. So here's the question. What will be the public statement that the FBI will issue regarding confirmation of the resignation, Andy, of the number two at the FBI? It's a very big story, folks. Very big.
Well, I think this rocks the FBI to its foundations. And I think this puts Chris Wray in a very interesting position because he has come in there. And I know his reputation. He's from Atlanta. He was in the U.S. Attorney's Office long after I left, of course. But I know he's got a very good reputation, a stellar reputation in point of fact. Worked for Larry Thompson, who was the U.S. Attorney and Deputy Attorney General. And I think he has been surrounded by people like Rubicki, people like McCabe, people like Strzok, people like Page, these other people that we've dealt with. This is a bad group that was in the FBI, and I'm glad to see him go.
It's an interesting aspect of this, Wes, that you have in basically a two-day period, if you take the weekend out, head of the general counsel for the FBI,
chief of staff,
Rubicki, and then you have the number two at the FBI. So again, he offered his resignation. Is that because this is what I wonder? Are we getting those? We're getting those tweets put in there so I could see them. I wonder it's because of. Let me repeat the tweet. I wonder if this is what they know what's coming out, and they know that they're not going to be able to withstand that kind of scrutiny. But here's what it says: I want to believe the past. Path you through. This is from, I got to get clear here. Will, who's it from?
It's from Peter Strzok to Lisa Page.
Okay, so it's from Page, from Strzok to Page. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, and we've assumed that is Andy McCabe's, that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk, is what Strzok texted on August 15, 2016. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. This was a statement, again, in Andy's office, and the assumption has been, Andy, that was Andrew McCabe's because they were all in the same zone.
Well, it was definitely Andrew McCabe, and it was part of a plan basically to see how to ensure that the election came out the way the deep state operatives and the FBI wanted it to come out, Jay, to thwart the will of the American people in a free and full election. This is an outrage. It is not anything that we should sit by calmly and say that, oh, well, it just happened and let it go. Andrew McCabe, Strzok, and Page sat down there and figured out a way, if they could possibly do so, to rig the presidential election of the United States.
We talk about the mainstream media spin, and they're already spinning this one. So NBC broke it. I give them credit for that. They got
it was just a factual report. FBI director Andrew McCabe.
He doesn't get to write headlines.
Yep, usually. It's stepping down effective Monday. Yep.
Here's the new headline that CNBC put up: FBI deputy director Andrew McCabe, frequent target of Trump's ire.
Yep.
Steps down. Now he's the frequent target because of what he has been accused of doing: the meetings in Andy's office, the money back and forth between his family and top Democrat leaders, his conduct, the way the FBI has been run in the Jim Comey world that he was a part of. I mean, he was the number two. He actually oversaw Russia. You know, he took that over from Jim Comey to oversee directly the Russia investigation. So a lot of this FISA, all of that could be leading to him. Wasn't the big deal, too, that they were going to let him stay just to be nice so that he would get his pension? But, Dad, if he left 2 months before, I mean, I don't know if they worked something out there, deal with him, but he resigned. He didn't get fired.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big breaking. Your
pension at that level is a big deal, too.
It is. So that's the question. I don't know how all that plays in. Logan, what are we seeing online? I don't think we have time for we'll take more questions after the break. We're going to stay after and continue this conversation. We've got one more segment left, but we will stay after.
All right. There are a lot of comments coming in. If you do have a comment on this situation, please get your comments in. Let's pull some.
On the McCabe. We want to really kind of focus on that one. You want to take another call with a minute and 23 seconds?
We can take a really quick call.
All right.
Let's go to Gordon in Virginia, line one.
Hey, Gordon, go ahead.
My question is about whether McCabe should be permitted to resign and retire at this point. If that happens and subsequently things are revealed, it's going to be much more difficult, I believe, to address those benefits that he's walking away with, much less any.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, if there was a violation of the law, I'm not saying that, but if he violated the law, that would not be absolved just by him retiring. And you can't not let him retire. Now, the question is, why did he do it today?
Yeah, because he wasn't at the date yet for his pension.
So my theory, I'll go to really quick here, is because those memos are about to come out.
I think his resignation is directly connected to that.
Yep.
Hooray, hooray, though. No more meetings in Andy's office.
That's true.
put that in my tweet. Insurance policy lapses.
The insurance policy lapses. We will have Andy. We'll have meetings in our Andy's office, though, anytime. All right, we're taking your call at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more Logan in just a moment.
That's right. Phone lines are jammed. We'll take your comments as well on social media and get them in now. Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back with more Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've got, now a big report that Andrew McCabe has resigned effective today. He's taking what's called terminal leave. What does that mean, Wes? That's right. Government speak
as for. As federal employees, right. You build up leave, and if you don't use it, you can go up to 60 days used or lose, and apparently he has a lot of leave built up, and you can actually take terminal leave, and yet your retirement date doesn't change.
But he would be gone effective today.
Correct.
From the agency. And Jordan, right. You think that's important?
Yes. No more access to documents. Yes. No more top secret clearance. Doesn't have anything to do with the memo. Christopher mm-hmm. Ray got to read it. Andy's not going to get mm-hmm. to. Then his people are totally demoralized. They've got no leader anymore. I think this is better than what could happen because the man left on his own because this is how scared they are. So any Democrat out there who's trying to tell you that this memo is just fluff, you don't leave your number two position at the FBI.
If it's fluff.
You don't leave your chief of staff position voluntarily. You don't put in jeopardy. I mean, you're putting a lot in jeopardy by taking this action because even though you are resigning and may still be able to get your pension, this resignation is going to look at very closely as someone trying to run away from potential criminal violations.
Hey, let me ask this to Andy, based on your experience as U.S. attorney, and you know Chris Ray. So this is Chris Ray putting his leadership in play, right? And it sounds like that's what it is to me.
Jay.
I think that, I mean, we don't know that for a fact, but it sounds like to me that Chris Ray saying, okay, we got to clean this mess up. This is a mess.
Isn't it interesting that Chris Ray looks at the memo, he goes to Capitol Hill, looks at the memo, and McCabe, the next day,
is gone. And Rebicki went on Friday.
And Rebicki, the chief of staff, goes, this is Chris Ray saying, I have seen the memo, get out.
Okay, yes. So that's what we're speculating. And Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, just texted us this. Rebicki out, McCabe out, the sunlight's working, and more names are named in the memo. So there could be some other developments on that. That's why there's some pushback. The excuse for the pushback is the concern about, as Andy said, sources and method. But the truth is the bureaucracy is circling the wagons to protect the improper behavior of their colleagues. This is a big story, and there is more information coming out this by the moment. Let's go.
He's going to have to testify publicly before the American people.
Yep.
Some may be behind closed doors, but a lot of this is going to be public because it involves Americans and potentially spying on Americans. I mean, so these guys went from really top guys, really high ranking to, man, they took, you know, again, they made the FBI political. They deserve whatever they get.
All right, let's go ahead and Logan take some calls here.
Yeah,
and then we'll figure
out
what
calls
we're
are
do.
On different topics, but most of them are on this now. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line 3. You're
hey,
on
Jerry.
The air. Jerry, thanks for holding.
All of you guys are hitting on all cylinders. It's a great day to be a member of this. This is the fruits of your labor. Wybicki left at 5 minutes of midnight. McCabe left at 2 minutes to midnight. Congratulations. Next
well, call. I think, look, it's not midnight yet, so there's a lot more that can happen. But I think what Jordan just said is interesting. We don't, and Andy, and that is the director of the FBI, Chris Ray, reviewed the document yesterday, according to media reports. And then right before then, you have Rebicki, the chief of staff, leave. And then this morning, you have the announcement that McCabe is out. Now, he already said he was going to resign, and he'll get his benefits because the way he's done the resignation. But effectively, Wes, he is out and cut off from agency involvement.
He is, actually, in the federal government, because I went through this when I worked at the Pentagon. Whenever you retire or you resign, they actually literally escort you to the building, and they take your badge as you leave. He is out.
Yeah, wow. Big development. All right, Logan, let's grab some more calls here in the last segment. And we're going to either stay after and restart, or we're figuring that out. They'll let us know. You'll listen.
All right, yep, we're working on it. Let's go to Rebecca on line 4.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hey.
Just wanted to know what your take is with this McCabe stepping down.
Big.
If that wasn't perhaps pressured, he was pressured.
Well, I don't
somewhere.
Know if it's pressured. I think the document's about to come out, and you know, evidently, people like McCabe are in it. And I think this is raising their concerns. He was also mentioned those text exchanges, so that wasn't particularly helpful for the number two at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So, you know, I think you put all this together. This is, you know, light is being shined on this, and I think these were the agents that were involved in this investigation. This is a very, I mean, it's a huge breaking development here.
This is not the deep state. This is the top of Washington, D.C. And as we said before, The deep state causes a lot of trouble with the leaking and things like that. These are the real swampers.
Yep.
And woo, when you start getting them to resign, you are winning. Now it's a tough battle.
No, it's going
to
get
and
nasty.
You see what you they've tell. Done to the what they've done to the president and his allies throughout this battle. But something just turned in these last
24 hours.
Well, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is even bigger development. I mean, these were the guys who were holding on and holding on.
Has there been a statement issued, Will, on the release on his retirement? Not we're stepping aside.
To me, this indicates
he was the acting FBI
director. He's expecting
director.
That memo out soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think they think it's the vote's going to be there to do it. All right, Logan, let's try to take some more calls.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Kerry in Washington on line two.
Hey, Kerry, go ahead.
Hi, I wanted to know that after the memo is released, what is the next step, and what is the next step in order to get some type of, not just firings, but some sort of prosecution?
Well, it depends what's in the memo. If there's anything, you can't prosecute something unless it's a crime. The Department of Justice would have to investigate that. There's an inspector general that's doing that review right now, Andy. So there's a process. You don't just say, your name's in it, you're guilty. There's
no,
a process that
obviously,
goes forward.
Obviously, and the inspector general is taking his time, I will say, to get that report out. But the process is that we would look at the conduct of that was engaged in by McCabe or anybody else, Rubicki or whoever else was involved in this. We would evaluate it. We would see if what criminal statutes were involved and whether or not there was proof here that there was probable cause to believe crimes have been committed. And if so, take it to a grand jury and let the process go through.
Yeah, folks, this is the number two at the Federal Bureau of Investigation stepping down. I mean, I cannot underscore how big of a deal this is. So the number two at the FBI. So the question is, what's in that memo? I mean, that's really what this is about. Let's try to grab another call here. Now, caller, stay on the line because I think we're gonna figure out in the process here how we're going to do it. Logan, right. Do we know what we're going to do yet for the last?
We'll discuss it here. Steve in Tampa, you're on the air.
Hey, Steve. Steve, go ahead.
Two really quick questions.
Yep.
One, how concerned are you about keeping the narrative in line with this McCabe firing? Because you know they might try to spin it as if Trump had something to do with it.
They're already pushing out that the frequent target of Trump's ire. So that's already taking place.
And then two, this House Intelligence Committee investigation is only one of multiple. Is that correct?
That's correct. The House has got one, Senate, Judiciary. There's multiples. But this is, look, Chris Wray reviewed it yesterday.
He didn't get fired, guys. So, they're not going to be able to put this on Trump.
No, he didn't get fired.
He quit because he knew a memo's coming out that implicates him, puts him in a horrible light and potentially criminal. And I'm not just saying that. Congressman said that. Crimes were committed of people who are in our government. The names we know about so far were Chris Wray, the names that we know about are Andrew McCabe, Rod Rosenstein, and Jim Comey.
And Rubicki.
We know those names are in the memo. Chris Wray has now read the memo, which means the FBI has now reviewed the document, which should satisfy the DOJ-FBI concerns, which were kind of out of
left. And you got an inspector general report, Andy, that's in the works right now, as you just said.
And a vote that could occur today.
Yep. All right, and the vote may take place today. All right, Logan Sekulo, you've got the comm. What are we doing
here? We are going to go play, if you're watching online, we're going to play a really short one-minute music video. We'll discuss what we're going to be doing. We're probably going to be continuing on, but we'll discuss it.
All right, so if you...
We're continuing on. It's whether we're going to go down and come back. But we'll explain it all. If you're watching online, find us there right now. If not, log over. We're going to be back in just a minute.
All right. And your support of the ACLJ, folks, you see it in action. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Remember, we're here for another, could be 30 minutes, could be an hour, as this is breaking. And we're going to figure out whether we're going to come back on or not. We'll let you know on that. But again, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. And folks, we'll keep them posted also on our other social media platforms.
That's right. Make sure to follow us, Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, just broadcasting live as much as we can. We'll be there right now. We still have definitely more show coming up.
A little
online,
music right now.
Exclusive. Music coming up for those watching online. We'll be back in just a minute.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.